Hello, my beautiful people of the internet. Welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I am your gracious host, Zane, and welcome back to this episode where I'll be talking about adult animation. Now, before I continue, I just want to say every time you guys listen to each episode of mine, we're slowly building revenue from the podcast. So in the future, what you could do is you could help me make the podcast far better than it already is. You can help me pay for college textbooks, put some food on the plate, or flush that dang toilet over there too. So, let's get into the topic. So, today recently, an interesting trend was going on Twitter called Animation is for Everybody. That was probably today or yesterday, but it was today, I'm pretty sure. And really, it is true. Cartoons are great. Cartoons are good. Cartoons are way better than school. No, they're not. And not only that, the cartoons really are for everyone, not just for kids, but YouTube doesn't think so. But furthermore, the cartoon idea really started with one cartoon I heard from Saberbark with Fritz the Cat, the first animated adult cartoon, and then coming second was with The Simpsons, Family Guy, and then South Park. And really, the idea of adult cartoon shows have become more prevalent nowadays with different releases and different ideas of how to make an adult cartoon or cartoon for people or others or so on and so forth, or even for everyone. Movies, TV series, or even shorts, even too. And it is a really fun thing to do. However, there's always going to be a few bad animated adult cartoons out of a good batch. Now, what I'm going to be doing in this part of the podcast specifically is I'm going to be talking about a couple of bad examples of adult animated cartoons and a couple of good examples. So, let's get into them, shall we? But before I start the first one, who could tell me where this line came from? No, wait, don't. It's not their fault that they're chaotically horny. I'm just going to let that out of context line sink in for a sec. If you guys guessed Super Magical Girl Friendship Squad, then you'd be correct. So the cartoon was originally released on Sci-Fi before they spelt it the bad way and not the good way. And really, to give it the show's credit, it isn't the worst thing I've seen in my entire life. No, folks. That will be the next two I'll be talking about later. But from what I heard from other YouTubers and other people talking about the show, like it rarely has its own moments sometimes. And it does have its own questionability, and it's mainly all about referencing and tropes and so on and so forth. And not only that, like some of the writing can be bad, some of the animation can also be bad, and it could also be there sometimes. There was one YouTuber that was literally kicking the show while it was down, questioning it to a point where, like, I can't remember what his name was, but basically he was like dissecting the most smallest things and saying, why is this happening? And after seeing those things, I kind of agree with him. Because certain tropes that the show try to portray is mainly like references and so on and so forth, where it's like, oh, Pokemon Go, remember that? Or like Yoshi or Cowboy Bebop. And after looking at the first episode for myself too, the characters do seem very careless about the situation around them. Like, they're living in New York, they do not have a job, and their rent is overdue. If I was in their shoes, I would be freaking out to a point where I would be shitting bricks. That is the best way to say it. I would be shitting literal bricks because I would be in the most expensive city, I won't have a job, and I can't seem to pay my rent from it or for it. And these characters, they seem so nonchalant about it, they seem so chalant about it that they will do it like sitting it down. And then there's this character who's like, I don't know how to explain this, that for them to know the rules of the universe or why this one character came to them. Okay, so stick with me, folks. They basically had to put their fingers up itself. Yeah. So it as a adult cartoon, sometimes that does have to be like a thing for some reason. Like a cartoon does sometimes have to be vulgar. And I sometimes question him with an idea like that. Like, oh, if you need to learn my information or my backstory, you have to do the one thing you cannot do. If I was a character, I'd be like, what is that? Put your finger in my butthole. Excuse me? And really, it is kind of stupid on paper and on execution because, like, yeah, the character has been told why they need to do that. And not only that, when they've been told that they could transform into magical girls, they have to pick an item close to them. And they do, like, they're not even being creative and they're not even, like, taking it seriously because the whole point of the cartoon is like being like, ha ha ha, millennials, ha ha ha, jokes about today and shit. And, well, if I was offered to be a warlock, I would definitely pick a guitar just so I could use it to summon Deathwing from World of Warcraft or any badass dragon whatsoever. And the animation quality, it's there sometimes. Like, it's not that bad. It's not that good. I mean, it does have its own moments here and there. Like I said, it's not the worst thing I ever seen. That title takes it to two different shows I will talk about. And furthermore, one scene in specific with, like, these characters I don't understand. Like, they look so ugly. And not only that, they just basically, like, copy and pasted these characters from this one episode, from the same episode I said that line to beginning with. And I don't know how to explain it. Basically, the main leader of these weird kids are like, we must appease our god by performing the grind line. If I was an adult, and if I saw my child watching a show like that, I'll be like, Timothy, what the heck are you watching anymore? And that's coming from a guy who loves cartoons, because why would that have to be a thing? Why would you think of that? Why does this cartoon exist? Why? So, Magical Girl Friendship Squad, bad cartoon. Now, to be fair, and to be quite out there, there are different types of animes that poke fun at the magical girl genre. And there's other animes that turn it on its head, from, like, Magical Girls to Dark Magical Girls or Magical Girl Apocalypse. Oof, Magical Girl Apocalypse. Or even Panty and Stocking, I heard, was a good example, because that show basically did poke fun at the magical girl genre, and it actually stuck on point what the issues were. The first episode was basically all about crap, and they stuck with it from thick and thin. As stupid as it seems, it worked, and we're still waiting on season two, but not getting it. So the next the next cartoon I do want to talk about is one called My Daily Horoscope. Oh, the horrors with this one. So as of recording, the show, or I should say the software thing for entertainment, Quibi, is going under, and it closes doors after 6 months. And to be fair, when you have other competitions like Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Peacock, Tubi, or even just YouTube, where you could watch anything just for 10 minutes, it's kind of a hard ball game, to be fair. But My Daily Horoscope is no laughing matter, to a point where it is far horrible than the last one I was talking about, the Friendship Squad. Because what that one has that this one doesn't is a few things. 1, good animation. 2, actual jokes. 3, personalities. Kind of. But not only that, it takes the idea of like, oh, it's your favorite characters as the zodiac signs, and they're all so unique because they're the zodiac signs. And Personally, I kind of hate the idea that someone would be making a show based on someone's own spiritual beliefs. And really, I think it's like a low blow, it's a sleazy move, and I absolutely hate it. But My Daily Horoscope is a show where it belongs in the garbage. The animation is awful, the characters are awful, and the writing is absolutely awful. Now, I only saw this because of the trailers. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, but Jane, why didn't you see the show if you only saw the trailers? Well, to be fair, of two things. One, I didn't want to pay for $10 watching a 10-minute video that I could be doing it on YouTube. Two, I don't want my eyes to bleed out. And three, I'd rather not my ears to bleed out either. So, My Daily Horoscope basically would, I want to say, kind of try to, could have, maybe would have, take the exact identity or the idea of BoJack Horseman. Like, you have anthropomorphic characters, but they're zodiac signs, and yet each of them have their own personalities, they have their own traits, and they're somehow a part of each other's lives on a daily basis. The show tries to be vulgar, but it also tries not to be vulgar. Like, one example was a character named Pisces. This happened in the trailer, let remind you, that he said, "I made my own Pisces tarot card deck, the PTD, and you, my friend, need the D." Like, there was a vulgar joke there. And not only that, there was like another character named Aries, who was basically like the sassy girl of the group, and she tried to bring like that type of vulgarity, basically what Lois brought to Family Guy, basically. And it doesn't work. I don't know how to explain it, but for the rest of the characters, they're either annoying, stupid, or that one kid you don't want to bully in school. And or via video games, you know the ones. So those one sweet kids that are like acting so nice, but then you're like, do I really want to bully this kid? He seems too nice to do that anyway. And really, the show is just terrible. It is a terrible show. Now, to be fair, I think the cartoon would be better off in the hands of either BoJack Horseman or the people behind Close Enough. Because to be fair, they can make jokes and they can do some dark shit with those two cartoons. I should know. I mean, we all should know about that. But that was at least saving grace for me, because I am going to talk about one cartoon that I hate. No, that I loathe to my soul. Ladies and gentlemen, what I find to be the most stupidest, the most grossest, the most downright disgusting adult cartoon in the world, Big Mouth. Now, let me just get a few things across really quick. I am not body shaming the cartoon at all. Whatever the body does, the body does. Now, I'm not going to go over what the body does when you're growing up and puberty hits, because to be honest, I don't want to sound like an absolute creep. But however, all I have to say is you run, you jump, you stretch, you crack your fingers, you crack your toes. Your nails grow, your hair grows, your eyelashes grow, your eyebrows grow, your eyes are changing sometimes, and you get nosebleeds and so on and so forth. It's all natural. Can we stop it? No. Does it have to happen sometimes? Yeah. And I'm not trying to bully the show because it talks about puberty. In fact, I feel like it rarely talks about puberty and goes off the rails with vulgar jokes most of the time. Like, in my eyes, Big Mouth is a show that deserves to go to hell. And then hell would realize that it has arrived and it's like, oh shit, you're here. And it sends them to Super Hell. And Super Hell will be like, oh damn, so you're too good for this place. We need to send you lower. And then it sends them to Ultra Hell. And then Ultra Hell will be like, so you're gonna hate me, but you might need to go a little bit lower. And then it puts them behind the fucking boiler room of hell for all eternity. It deserves to be behind that room of boiler room. And for some reason, it has like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know why, but I question it because, yes, for the couple of seasons, it does talk about certain things that you may experience in life, like what way do you swing, experiencing your first crush, experiencing your first breakup, noticing that you're different than anyone else, and depression. And the fourth one is anxiety, I believe. And it also talked about STDs and so on. There could be another better way to inform people who are going through these changes than making like an absolutely raunchy, vulgar, disgusting animated adult cartoon from it. Another good example is what they done perfectly, in my opinion, but yet worse, is the hormone monsters. To be fair, the idea of someone's own like hormones, like testosterone or like pathogen? No. Crap, I can't remember what the other one was called. But you get what I'm saying. Into like a living, breathing creature. But they break the rules of how the hormone monsters work from six ways to fucking Sundays, folks. So let me explain the rules. So the rules are basically how the world will operate, like the Magical Friendship Squad girls. They're magical girls in a world where they don't give two shits about shit. Or like Family Guy, it's about a family that goes into wacky situations. The Simpsons, it's a family that goes into wacky situations. And so on and so forth. Like, there are so many different adult cartoons out there, and they have their own rules, and they have their own universe, and they stick by them sometimes. For Rick and Morty, I want to say that's a whole lot of heresy because it's Rick and Morty, that's about it. But for this, it just breaks the rules for the hormone monsters entirely. For sadly, I've seen the episode where at the beginning of one of the episodes of the first season, there was like an alien that came down to presumably Earth and proceedingly to have intercourse with it, and then somehow the hormone monster was made after that. I'm like thinking to myself, like that ruins the idea. And then next, somehow, the female hormone monstress jumps from like the redheaded girl to only the actual sweetest character on the show. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, what? No, doesn't that monster belong to her? And furthermore, somehow, on the third and fourth, no, on the fourth season, the same hormone monster goes to the main character. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, what the fuck? Is it ringed around the hormone monsters? And it is absolutely stupid. It is absolutely confounding that this was a good idea. And no. What also bugs me is the fact that the characters can or cannot see the hormone monsters. Where like other characters don't have their own hormone monsters. And like at sometimes they would reference the hormone monsters from other characters, or sometimes other characters would see the hormone monsters. The second fucking episode they did this shit. And the first. Where at the end of the first episode, the main character was like, wait, holy smokes, are you like the hormone fairy? And like the other character on the second episode was like, hi, you're looking at me. There's a giant monster right next to you. And like, it just doesn't make any sense. And not only that, what I question is that who comes up with the storyboards? Because it just questions me and baffles me to a point of, okay, who actually experienced this as a child? Okay, so for example, on the second season of Big Mouth, when a character named the Shame Wizard was first introduced, the character Andrew was, let's say, a man of his time. He was playing building blocks, okay? Let's just say that. So Maurice slash the Hormone Man Monster convinced him to play building blocks in his friend's bathroom in front of his sister's swimsuit. The sister comes in, he sees him playing with his building blocks and runs out ickied. And I'm thinking to myself, like, who does that? Who would actually do that? And furthermore, there's like another scene on the first episode where it's like, no, like the third episode when they're like sleeping over at one of their friend's house with their brothers, and I don't know how to explain it. This is what I have to do. I cannot explain it without sounding like an absolute creep. And it is. If you guys or anyone else like me who's sadly seen the episode knows what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's absolutely questionable. It is absolutely disgusting, even, and it's absolutely profounding that they even greenlit this. And I just hate this show. And I'm wondering, how is it still on? How is it still airing after good cartoons, somewhat, have died because of this? How is this cartoon still able to air? Why is Netflix still airing this cartoon? I don't like it. I don't like the idea it's trying to perceive. I don't like the characters at all, especially Maurice. I hate that character because I would call 911 on Maurice without a second thought, because the way how he talks and the way how he just controls Andrew in the first season, it's completely mind-boggling that this character was even written, that he acts like this. I mean, I know he's supposed to be like hormones and so on and so forth, but the way how he acts is just like so, like, I don't know why. Why does this cartoon exist? Why does this cartoon exist? So that was Big Mouth. So let's take a 20-minute break, at least. Or maybe shorter. Bye. And we're back. I know, short break, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, let's get into what I feel are good examples and good adult cartoons in general. So the first one I really want to talk about that I feel like a lot of people skim over is one called Final Space. And boy, howdy, I hate myself because I have not seen any episodes of Final Space, but it looks really good. I have seen some clips. I'll bite my tongue on that. And I have seen some stuff about the second season, and I've seen the poster for season 3. And holy crap, it looks already good. Now, just a quick background. The idea from what I can understand about Final Space was that something happened to this one character named Jared? Jerry. Joe. I want to say Jerry. So let's just call him Jerry. I can't remember his name. Sorry. So basically, he was a prisoner on this ship that was powered by an AI and has a robotic companion named Kevin? Yeah, Kevin. And he hates Kevin. And he obviously has to do like these prisoner sentences in outer space, like fixing satellites and so on and so forth. And the animation quality looks really good, especially for a lot of different shots. And because they're in space, I feel as if they have a lot of other different advantages, much like Rick and Morty does sometimes. And furthermore, what I really love about the series, like I said, I've seen some clips of it from different episodes on YouTube, was that they literally foreshadow the overall ending of what's going to happen to the main character. Now, it's sad, but every time when you watch or see each episode, it's not going to change the slightest. And what's even more sad when you think about it is this is his fate after all. That no matter how much he is the main character, this is going to be his fate. And he's going to slowly be running out of oxygen because he is stranded in space with nothing but the AI in his head. Well, helmet, to be fair. And he is going to slowly die. And it is just sad because when you see it, you know, and this is always going to happen to him. He's not going to probably have a second chance. And until season 2 comes out. Like, season 1 did have its extreme big moments. Like, a lot of people, I feel, were getting killed from left to right. A lot of sad scenes. And it was really good in terms of characters, in terms of ideas, in terms of story. It was amazing. for season two, they changed up the cast a bit. Some of them were still there. Some of the same characters were still there from season one. Some new ones were introduced. Like, one really cool one was, I can't remember her name. She had, like, this pink neon hair. She had one eye, and she had this, I want to say, warlock space powers. And when she gets really angry, she just, I think she's just able to, like, literally crack half of the planets to her will. And that is badass as hell. And not only that, there's also, like, this big buff character with, like, a Gatling arm, I think. And there's obviously the same characters from, well, some of the same characters from season one. Rarely saw this season two. Rarely saw it. I'm sorry. I hate myself for it. And not only that, this season, it changes a lot of things and looks more depth into the main character's life. Like, his mom left him when he was a kid. And not only that, there's, like, this big, I want to say eldritch-like creature. And the design looks really cool somewhat. And not only that, it gets more in-depth with some of the other characters from, like, the last season. And it completely is still awesome. Animation quality, awesome. Writing, awesome. Characters, awesome. Somewhat. And the idea, I feel, is awesome overall. And with season three coming out and seeing, like, the main, like, these evil clones of the main character, like, undead abominations dragging the main cast into, like, a void of some kind. And prediction this. It's going to be the same thing with season one. Not the idea that these characters are going to die. $10, they are going to die. But the idea that they're going to show what the overall fate of the characters are going to be. It's not going to end happy for them. They're going to die, most likely. And they're going to die. That is it. Maybe. If season four comes out, I'm spitballing here. But overall, Final Space, highly recommended, highly recommend to watch. You're welcome. The next animated cartoon, I want to say, is one by independent creators called Hell of a Boss. Now, Hell of a Boss is one that caught my eye the most I want to talk about because, just as quick, Hazbin Hotel, love it, love it, love it, love it. But the idea of which studio it's going to be in because of A24 scares me the most. Hulu, maybe. HBO Max, also maybe because they're slowly becoming an animated adult series now. Peacock, maybe. Netflix, scares me to death. Zoophobia, on the other hand. It's okay. I mean, it's still good. Animation quality, good. Some animation errors here and there. But either way, it's still good. Characters, all right. Musical numbers, also all right. But Hell of a Boss, I feel like I want to talk about the most because it has, I want to say, more to offer so far. Including, if you include the pilot so far, the series has over 3 episodes. This is a series made by Vizzy Pop and her crew. Oh, by the way, then, hi, if you're listening to this, Vizzy. And not only that, the series did have interesting characters. Like, you have the one character named Blitz with an O at the end, but it's not pronounced Blitzo, it's just Blitz, who sounds like that one, I can't remember what his name was, but he was basically poking fun at, like, the everyday mom idea routine. I know who I'm talking about. I just can't remember his name. He was a YouTuber. He did a couple of videos on this. But I think that was Fitz's voice actor. There was also, like, Molly and Moxie, the married couple. There's Luna, the hellhound fairy of the group. And there's, like, a bird man named Stolas. And Stolas is probably, just as quick, Stolas is actually a real demon, but overall, I like his design better in this series than in the book, because if you look at the book, oof, weird one. And overall, just this quick, the animation production, the characters, the musical numbers, when I first saw this, including Zoophobia and Hazbin Hotel, I'm, like, thinking to myself, Disney has a lot of competition now, because it's true. When you look at this animation and compare it to some of the musical numbers, what Disney has to offer in its recent lineup of movies they released, it does have more promise. Like, there are, in my opinion, I feel as if the animations for Helluva Boss, Zoophobia, and Hazbin Hotel are more, a little bit grander than what Disney had recently offer. For example, just as quick, The Lion King. Barely anything. There's barely anything that they took advantage of with the idea of Africa being like this beautiful, big, and inspiring land. Instead, they always run on a flat land, just talking and singing. Even the Be Prepared one was mediocre at best, because they took advantage of Scar's conniving and scheming idea, put some green in there, and it just felt very empowering. This one was like, okay, we gotta go quick. Nothing. And as of recording, Helluva Boss posted a second episode as of the first, and I found I like the second episode more than the first one. Because to be fair, the second one has more, I want to say, grander animation to it. Like, there's a recent character everyone's starting to like on Twitter now called Robo Fizz, I think his name was, or Robo Fitz. And basically, he, imagine Beetlejuice, but as a robot. That's what you get. He's very bendy. He's very wiry and very rubber hose-like. It is absolutely amazing animation, too. The characters are awesome. The idea is awesome. And not only that, I feel as if the idea of hell in general, of heaven and hell, you have more to work with of your own interpretation of an angel or a demon. And I feel as if this idea of Hazbin Hotel and Hell of a Boss is the best way to put it. I mean, to be fair, we do have our own interpretations of how demons and angels or even aliens look in several different courses of media. For example, Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, Doom. And yet, those are also good examples of how they take advantage on the idea of hell and demons and angels. And I feel as if Helluva Boss and Hazbin Hotel are the exact same thing. VisiPop and her crew so far have made amazing cartoons and shorts so far in the world of animation. And if you guys agree or don't agree, that's fine. That's your opinion. That's just how I feel. So there is one more adult cartoon I do want to talk about that I feel fails from grace sometimes. Who's ever heard of a short adult cartoon on Adult Swim? Wait, no, two of them, in fact. Two short adult animated cartoons on Adult Swim called The Legends of Tigtone and Attorney Birdman. No, wait, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. So just as quick, Tigtone is a very both disturbing, gross, somewhat vulgar idea. It's fun, though. It's a very fun show when you look into it and see a couple of episodes, because it takes the idea of what people would do in an adventure video game. Like, there's this character named Tigtone, and he has a ton of different abilities. He's a good fighter, and he loves to take on different types of quests. Like, if you say, Tigtone, help me! I need your help to tame my wild of Cerberus or Hydra, he would be like, I will take this quest, and he will do the quest. Sometimes with at most ease, or sometimes literally committing arson in the rainforest. No, literally, that was an actual episode where he had to deliver the king and queen's son to someone, and this one guy, he was like, oh, Tigtone, help me find my tools. They might be in the forest. And he was like, I will take this quest. He goes into the forest, sets everything on fire, and manages to find the toolbox in fire. It's ridiculous. It's funny. And really, animation-wise, it's sometimes disgusting because it's very realistic per se. And not only that, it's, I want to say it's rig animation, like the same way how they do Archer. It's a cartoon that does act stupid, but it's a good kind of stupid. You may say it looks dumb or it's terrible. To me personally, I think it's a cartoon that's both dumb, it's good, but yet it's also watchable, unlike Big Mouth or My Daily Horoscope. Yeah. So just a quick two before I end this podcast here. Harvard Birdman, Attorney at Law, is another Adult Swim series. So for those of you who have heard of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, imagine that. But Birdman is an attorney and a lawyer. And I feel as if the idea and the premise was really funny and fun to begin with. Because, like, you have all these different Hanna-Barbera cartoons coming together. And they're coming to this guy to be... seeking his aid and for a case. Like, there was a couple of episodes I remember where... Secret Squirrel had to go to him they had to go to him because he was a secret agent. And mostly, I remember watching some of the Secret Squirrel cartoons as a kid, that he would always have a different gadget in his coat. But every time when he tried to get something from his coats, people thought he was flashing him. And now, but not only is that, I'm sorry. it's a ridiculous concept, but yet it works. Like, it works. There was even an episode where poor Scooby and Shaggy got arrested because they thought they were on the devil's lettuce, I wanted to call it, because that was illegal for cartoons, apparently. So they get arrested. They go into court, and Shaggy's like, Zoinks, man, look at there. There's a guy who looks like me, and another guy who looks like me, and another guy who looks like me. It is absolute fun. It is absolute carnage. Like, the biggest downside was, like, the animation for the first few episodes for season one were really good, was standard at best, in my opinion. Like, it wasn't bad, it wasn't good, it wasn't even great. It's still watchable. However, throughout the other few seasons, they relied on Flash animation. And it kind of does feel like it lost what it previously had of that type of classic cartoon theme in a modern setting. Now, granted, it's still there with all the characters. Like I said, Hanna-Barbera being in the same place. They're going to law. Freddie Flintstone getting up to court because they thought it was a mob boss and so on. It was an absolute fun cartoon. Now, before I end the podcast, I just want to say, you guys could follow me on Twitter at UltraNerd. You guys could follow me on Twitter at SuperNerd163 if you want. And that, just quick reminder, everything I did say up to this point was entirely opinionated. If you do feel certain about a certain cartoon that I haven't mentioned, you could tell me. And not only that, if you do like a cartoon, that's fine. If you do hate a cartoon I previously mentioned, that's fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. I just feel that way. And not only that, what you guys could also do is you can follow me on Twitter or on Instagram. And what I could try to do is I could try to keep on posting which episode I will be posting this week, or you guys could help me by giving some ideas out that I could try to cover in the future episodes and so on. And we'll try to make it fun for everyone. All right. Thank you. And remember, folks, geek is fleek.